the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. That's a mouthful. Ooh. It has been a long time. Like a month or two? It's been a month or two since we've recorded. No real reason. I was gone on some holidays, and then, you know, we kind of kick off in September with all the ministries and events and stuff going off. So I think we just kind of looked at it. We haven't done a podcast in a long time. It is time. So yeah, if you're new listening or if you're a regular listener, thanks for tuning in. And so really what we do is, you know, we have our Sunday sermons that we put on the website and on the podcast, but then me and Don, you know, we sit down every week and we try as often as we can to sit down and talk about, a topic or a tough passage of scripture or like questions that come in about Christianity and worldview and just practical stuff, I guess, of everyday life. And we just sit and go to the scriptures and try and answer. So that's what we're going to do today. We had a question come in. This is a good one. And actually someone asked me, and then I know someone asked you too. Yeah. So this is a question that a couple people have asked, but basically, I don't know how we want to word it, but like, what's a Christian's view of dinosaurs? What is, like, are they mentioned in the Bible? Like, how do you make sense? Like, our culture says, you know, dinosaurs lived 80 billion year, whatever it is, hundreds of millions of years ago. And, you know, so how do you make sense of that? If you're a follower of Jesus, what's the answer? So I guess to start with, what's your favorite dinosaur, Don?
Well, I actually, in kindergarten, my brother and I've got a little triceratop robot. It had the little cord attached and a little button.
Oh, really?
And it had the red lights, and my brother got a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yep.
So my favorite was the triceratops. And I had this one picture I found of a triceratops fighting a T-Rex, and he was just sticking his horns into the belly of the T-Rex. Oh, that was amazing.
Right? I think every boy, and probably girl, like little girls too, but especially little, like, what's not to love? Killing monster
big,
things.
Powerful.
Like, yeah, I remember loving the movie Jurassic Park. I remember watching, I can't remember, I was littler. My parents are terrible parents letting me watch. Yeah.
Jurassic Park.
Oh, man. Just more as you peel back layers of who I am, it's just, how did he become a pastor? But yeah, like, played with dinosaurs, had, like, loved it. I remember in school when you first kind of learn about, like, dinosaurs, it was just like, man, this is awesome. So, I mean, you know, we grow up hearing about them, and then movies like Jurassic Park, and even in the last year or two, a new one, Jurassic World, came out. So, I mean, it's just popular. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting hearing debates from people. I mean, any type of non-Christian scientists or people in the secular community, it's like dinosaurs are kind of the calling card, I guess, or one of the big, I don't want to say proofs, but like, that's, see, obviously evolution is true. That's what I remember being taught. Like, there's no way that dinosaurs could have lived only, you know, if you believe in kind of a creationist view of the world. Well, that's just silly. Like, we know, and I remember hearing them say, like, we know that dinosaurs lived 100 million years ago or 200 million years ago from fossil, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to try and use big words. But it was just kind of stated, I remember, as fact. Like, we know this. We know that dinosaurs lived hundreds of millions of years ago in the Jurassic era or the whatever era. And there's lots of theories. Maybe a comet came and destroyed them all. And then, you know, billions of years later, then humans came on the scene and evolved. Or maybe there was like a big volcano that wiped them all out. Or maybe it was like an ice age that killed them all, or blah, 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 blah. And so it's interesting when you ask a Christian, well, how do you make sense of that? Mm-hmm. I know lots of Christians who maybe don't have a response. Or I don't know. Let's talk about one of the craziest responses that Christians have. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
So if you are like a fundamentalist, I'm going to say like living in a swamp with like, sorry if I offend.
With gators.
Yeah. And we're like, you don't love Jesus, I'll kill you. But no, that's a stereotype. But lots of like fundamentalist Christians would say like, well, Satan uses, and I'm trying to say this without laughing, Satan uses dinosaur bones to like distract people and keep people from knowing the truth. So like the thousands upon thousands of fossils and like skeletons, well, that was just all buried by Satan to try and trick us. So I'm going to just come out and say that's not true. But it's interesting, like, so I don't know, Don, like you growing up, was that ever brought to you? Like, hey, Don, you're a Christian. What do you think? Like,
definitely. When I was growing up, which, you know, was in the 70s, then evolution was heavily associated with dinosaurs, with fossils. Totally. So I know in our Christian community, it was a real struggle to try to reconcile the two, so they kind of just ignored it. Mm-hmm. That's coming from the evolutionists, the people that don't believe in God, so let's not even go there. I was always very curious about it, and just I don't know, I didn't really have a problem if God created them on day 5, 6, then I
so
was
be
good
it, yeah.
with that. But I remember it being a real debate where for the most part the Christians didn't want to tackle that because they didn't know what answers were out there or even how to go about it, because there was such a strong voice from the evolution side that if dinosaurs were real, they were 80 million years old, they didn't exist with man, so therefore what Genesis 1 was saying is a myth or not correct or not to be trusted, and really the Christian community didn't know how to deal with that.
Yeah, totally.
So then all these other theories came up too. Well, maybe evolution and creation somehow mixed together. So then we got into more deep water.
Yeah. And it's almost like the Christian community, tries to bend to try and appease this evolution millions of year old agenda, to kind of say, well, yeah, sure, that could work, and try and like shove it into a biblical worldview. But here's the thing, like, it is an agenda, because every time you see this type of debate kind of on television, and there is lots of times on the Nature Show or blah 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 blah, or, you know, we're gonna have a guy, I remember when Bill Nye debated Ken Ham. Like, they just, it's such when they broadcast it, it was already so heavily favored toward Bill Nye, because obviously it's like, well, you know, he's obviously right. Like, so we're just going to bring in this Ken Ham guy who built an ark and he sounds crazy to represent the lunatic side. Mm-hmm. And even if you watch any type of debate, they always do that. It's like, okay, here representing the scientific side is like the top biologist in his field, Harvard professor, and here to represent the Christian side, here's Joe from Louisiana, and he's going to represent what all Christians believe. And it's so biased. And really, when you look at Christianity, it's like we want to be rational thinkers. Like, God gave us brains to deduce and to think and to reason. And so there's no, like, we don't have to just say, well, don't worry about dinosaurs, like, or just have faith. Like, no, God actually gives us the ability to reason and to go, okay, well, let's use science. Science is not the enemy. Lots of Christians think, you know, faith is anti-science. It's not. God, science is actually a tool that points us to the Creator. And so we don't have to just shy away and go, oh, well, we don't know how to answer that. Like, we want to enter into the debate and give a solid, rational argument for why creation and dinosaurs can kind of go together.
And it was even early Christians that were scientists that began realizing that this world was created in an orderly way to be discovered.
Totally.
That they said, hey, well, let's discover what's out there. And so they actually began that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So we'll get to this, but now you've got me thinking about other stuff. But yeah, throughout history, the church is often kind of portrayed as this anti-science, superstitious group. And like, don't hear me wrong, the church has done a lot of dumb things in its history. But even as I was reading, you know, people say, well, you know, Galileo, when he started coming out with some of his theories that the earth revolved around the sun, people have said like, well, it was the church that burned him at the stake for that. And that's just not actually true. Mm-hmm. Now this is the church did burn him at the stake for rejecting the Trinity, which is not okay to burn people at the stake, but it wasn't because like, well, he's saying the earth revolves around the sun, kill him. That never happened. Or there's this, you know, theory that, well, it was just Christian, you know, religious, superstitious people that always thought that the earth was flat. That's actually not historically true. Christians were like, fine, whatever, the earth is round, we don't care, because they saw ships sailing and okay, so it kind of disappears. They would see the reflection of the earth in the moon during an eclipse, and the church never said like, wrong, the earth is flat. They were like, okay, it's round, whatever. So there is this agenda where where the secular society has tried to portray the church as just dumb, illiterate people.
Science.
And actually, some of the top scientists and smart thinkers throughout history have been followers of Jesus, like who have been devout Christians who have said, okay, how does this universe work? I want to discover how God has set up systems and structures, because he's a God of order. And so let's try and figure it out. So all that to say, so I don't know where we want to start. What is a biblical view of where do dinosaurs fit into this thing? Did Jesus ride a T-Rex?
Whoa. Well, I mean, part of this debate is the Bible reliable? Is it trustworthy? And we go right to the beginning in Genesis.
Totally.
And we read the account of God creating everything out of nothing, including on day 5 and 6, we have all the birds, the creatures of the sea, and all the beasts of the earth, the creeping things, everything, wild animals were created on day 6.
Yeah.
And then it says that God gave or created man, made them male and female, and then he gave them dominion and rule to rule over this creation. So if the Bible is true, which we believe it is, then dinosaurs would have been created on day 6.
Yeah.
The land animals. So.
Yeah. And so right away, like, because lots of people say, see, even the word dinosaur is not in the Bible. But you have to understand the word dinosaur wasn't even invented until 1841. Yeah. So there's lots of other words that people use to describe, like, I think, you know, the legends of dragons was just a word that they use, or large reptile, or so in the Bible, sure, the word dinosaur is not in the Bible, but it's not in any textbook or any book until 1841. So I agree, Don, that like if we read Genesis 1, that God created everything, so that would include dinosaurs. If he created all the animals, all the reptiles, all the birds, and all the fish, that would just include dinosaurs. So then you go, really? So dinosaurs and like human beings lived together? And again, like the Bible doesn't say specifically, well, then Adam, you know, petted a raptor or whatever. But we can just assume, well, yeah, because it says that mankind was given dominion over the world to rule it and to kind of reign over creation. And so that would include dinosaurs, that they lived, they coexisted with human beings, which again, even as I say it, I know, because I was brought up and we swim in a worldview that is the opposite of what the Bible. So even when you say it, you go, man, that sounds crazy. But it's because we are, our, the cultural prompter is always on feeding us evolution and millions of years old and da 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 da. And whether or not you say like, oh, I don't believe any of that, if you grew up in North America, you have been fed a steady diet of that. So even when you say like Adam and Eve lived with dinosaurs, it can sound slightly crazy.
Yeah, totally crazy.
So we don't want to like, and again, but you don't want to just come at it and say, so the Bible says it, so just believe it. It actually makes rational sense for a couple of reasons. Before the fall, there was no death and there was no destruction. And so we can assume that animals did not kill each other before the fall because death was not a part of God's original creation. So you go, really? Like, if dinosaurs lived with human beings, wouldn't they just be... Wouldn't it be like Jurassic Park? Yeah. Where they're just like fleeing for their lives? And but you have to understand that before the fall, that death didn't exist, or death wasn't a part of God's original creation. So dinosaurs before the fall didn't eat meat. They just ate whatever.
Yeah, in Genesis 1:29, it says, God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food, and I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry among the ground. Everything that has life, and this is what happened. So in the beginning, yeah, everything had ate fruit or green plants.
Sounds awful. Yeah.
No meat.
No, it's fine.
So after the fall. So interesting. We're going to go on a few rabbit trails, but they say, well, what about all the animals that have the tools to kill? Like, what were they eating before? It seemed like they were designed to do that. But I know I always look at a skull. You look at a skull of a panda bear and you think, whoa, this is a ferocious meat eater, and it ripped bamboo.
Yeah.
Bark apart to eat the inside. And so there's one example of how what looks like a ferocious animal actually eats plants, uses its sharp teeth.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's
a good point.
In the beginning,
yes,
they ate God provided green plants, fruit, and never had a plan for them to eat each other. Or,
yeah, totally.
And so, yeah, I can only imagine Adam and Eve after the fall, when the creation itself started resisting them and animals started, you know, becoming hostile, how terrible that must have been.
Yeah.
Because this is not very much fun anymore.
Yeah, right? They're not listening to us anymore. Yeah. So then, yes, the fall happens. And like you said, Don, like everything just kind of is fractured and it's broken. And we're told that even like creation itself is just jacked up and it's messed up. And because sin didn't just, we have to have a proper view of sin. Like it really did. It wrecked everything. Yeah. Like it wrecked our relationship with God, which is the worst. But it, like even Romans says, creation itself was just, it's been groaning since then because it was subjected to sin. So that includes, like you said, all the animals, all the, everything is just kind of broken and not quite what it should be. And then you see, you know, the first murder happens, Cain and Abel in chapter 4. And then in chapter 6, it says that in Genesis, man was multiplying. Every intention of his heart was evil. He was wicked. And we're introduced to Noah, who is a righteous man. Really, we're told that him and his family, they were the only righteous people on earth. And God has this plan to just wipe out all of creation. Because he goes like, I regret that I made anything. Look at how evil and wicked everyone is. And so I'm just kind of summarizing. Then we know that God instructs Noah to build an ark. And so a big boat, and then to take two of every type of animal, which we can assume includes dinosaurs. So a lot of people go, what? Really? Like there were dinosaurs on the boat? And yet you can go, yeah, but like God didn't say, you know, fully grown adult animals, and they could have been just, whatever you call it, baby dinosaurs, whatever that is.
Adolescents.
And they were in the boat for 40 days. So it's not as if like this ark must have been huge. Like it was a big boat, but we're not told that the sizes of the animals, we're not told.
And even it's in the fossil record, I think they say the average size of the dinosaur was like a cow or, you know, not even that big.
Yes.
So even those that have studied the square footage and all that of the ark and with all the animals that, the kinds that there was room for everybody.
Yeah, totally. So. And then we know that God then wipes out the rest of mankind. So you think about two of every type is of animal is saved and the rest are destroyed. And every other human being is destroyed. And then the flood subsides and God makes this covenant with Noah and they come off the ark and they're told to multiply. And so we can assume that then every animal, you know, it's a male and a female. Obviously they multiplied. And so you go, okay, well, why then aren't there dinosaurs today? Like, I don't know. Like,
well, I think that's even why are there not saber-toothed tigers today?
Sure, or woolly mammoths.
Or woolly mammoths, and a lot of the big predators were hunted out by man.
Yes.
So that's one reason. And then there were the ice age. There were lots of climate changes, and some animals probably didn't make it.
Yeah.
And we even know today, even in over the last 100 years, animals that have become extinct.
Yes. So it happens.
It happens.
It's not like a... Yeah, you're right. You can look back through a list of animals that have gone extinct in the last 100 years, and that's why people freak out about like, oh man, I'm just making this up. Oh, the panda is going to go extinct. We got to save them. So it happens that animals, for whatever reason, get wiped out by mankind, and or just natural things, right? And so that is probably what happened after the flood, that either mankind hunted and killed all of the dinosaurs, and you go, again, you have to, because right now Jurassic Park is playing in my mind. You have to kind of eliminate that cultural Hollywoodized version, because like you said, the majority of dinosaurs were not these gigantic, right? The majority of them, there were big ones. The majority were small, like you said, like no bigger than a cow. And then you think too, like mankind is capable of doing pretty incredible things because mankind, the difference between mankind and animals is that we have the ability to reason and to think of ideas and we have creativity. So I have no doubt in my mind that, I mean, you've seen it before. Mankind has tamed gigantic elephants and
killer whales,
and you look at like, hey, come get a picture with a cheetah. Like that's a hunting machine. Come get your picture taken with a lion. Like, yes, they're not huge, but they're designed like since the fall. Mm-hmm. They're one thing in their mind is to kill, and yet it's like, I'm gonna go get my picture taken with a lion. So mankind is able to do just crazy things. So could they have hunted and killed dinosaurs? Sure.
Or like
coexisted? Yes. Sure. I mean, we've tamed all sorts of animals. Why not? Which brings us to Job, because you actually say, well, dinosaurs aren't mentioned in the Bible. Well, yeah, the word dinosaur is not mentioned. So Job, most scholars agree, is the first book of the Bible that was written, but Job takes place sometime after the flood. They're not 100% sure when, but sometime after the flood, you read in a chapter in Job 40, verse 15, it says, "Behold, behemoth." So that's this title of some type of creature, which I made. So there's God saying, I made the behemoth as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold his strength in his loins, okay, and his power in the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar, so like a giant tree. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs like bars of iron. He is the first of the works of God. Let him who made him bring near his sword. For the mountains yield food for him, where all the wild beasts play. Under the lotus plant he lies, in the shelter of the reeds and in the marsh. And then it kind of goes on and on. So there, some people have said, like, well, maybe he's describing like an ox or a
elephant.
I'm like, have you seen an elephant's tail? It's like tiny. And here God is saying, the behemoth has a tail stiff like a cedar. And lots of scholars and paleontologists who are followers of Jesus said he's describing a brontosaurus, like the giant with the huge sweeping tail. Like that is clearly what he's talking about. Then even in Job, and I forget what chapter where he talks about the next one, Leviathan. Ooh. So you go, okay, what is this? Job 41, can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook? or press down his tongue with the cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? So people have said, like, well, maybe it's like a salmon or like a really big fish. I'm like, yeah. To say, like, can you actually catch Leviathan with a fishing pole? No, you can't do that. So some have said that's clearly one of the dinosaurs that lived in the water that they're describing. So
here's a question they have, though. Then later in verse 18, it says, when this Leviathan sneezes, it flashes light, and its eyes are like the red of dawn. Lightning leaps from its mouth. Flames of fire flash out.
What?
So then they say, well, this obviously is a mythical creature, because we're starting to get into the fantasy zone here. So what do we say to that? Which is a good question. You didn't go that far, did you?
No, I didn't.
So this
no comment.
So this is a question that comes at us as believers. Okay, then explain this.
Yeah. Are they shooting fire out of their mouths?
And we've never seen an animal do this. And how did this even happen? So this is starting to get into the mythical zone here. So
I'm hoping that you're – I'm hoping that you have an answer.
And this is like where some of the dinosaurs, which have the big crested heads, like some have said it's a mating call, or that could be the chamber where things are mixed. And we look at the Bombardier beetle that can mix chemicals in its body, and it shoots out this hot flame that's, I think, 200 degrees Fahrenheit or something like
that. Is that real? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like today, there's a beetle that can do that.
That can mix chemicals, and it has the chambers that it mixes with.
So what's the name of that beetle?
Bombardier beetle.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Then you have like the snakes with the venom and all these things. Like there's animals today that do amazing things that shouldn't even be possible, but somehow it is. And so could there be – and this is where they say all the legends of the fire-breathing dragons.
Right.
Where do all these – stories come from? Like they're describing dinosaurs, and they don't even know about
actually I read about that. So that's interesting, because you look at every culture. I read an article that said like if not every, almost every culture in the world in their history has dragons. They call them different things, but basically exactly what you're describing. And people have said, how is that possible that every culture in the world in their history — and these are like cultures that they've said they've never met each other, or like throughout history — how is it possible that every single culture has this myth, right? This myth, quote unquote, myth of a fire breathing dragon. So that's interesting that.
And here
we have
description
it.
Of some kind of dinosaur like creature that has the ability to breathe fire or put out fire. So, I mean, yeah, we can go, whoa, that is incredible. But they do want to use that as an argument that this has to be a myth, because this isn't even possible. But when you look at all the different animals out there and the diversity and the looks, the antlers they have, the poison some of them have, or abilities, it isn't way out there.
Wow.
It would be pretty cool to.
Man, you set me up good. I was like, I hope he's not looking for an answer from me. I got nothing.
So yes, that is one argument against that. Obviously, this is a book of myths and stories, because this couldn't happen. Well, we can't say that.
Yeah.
Because we have creatures that have amazing abilities and things they can do. So it's possible.
Yeah.
So we can't just – it's all.
Yeah. So obviously after the flood, like, because Job was written after the flood sometime, we still have evidences of dinosaurs, because I've heard some people say, well, okay, dinosaurs existed pre-flood, but they were all wiped out in the flood to try and somehow make, like, they couldn't have coexisted with humans, trying to make some type of argument. But I mean, Job obviously gives two examples, two descriptions that don't fit any type of, you know, regular animal that we could think of. Like, it just doesn't really fit. So obviously, we can, so what we're doing is like deducing things. We're doing, you know, this is like forensics, really, when you think about it. We're kind of as, and God invites us to do that, mm-hmm. that we would go, okay, let's look at the evidences in Scripture. We believe that this is God's word. And then we're not going to say, well, all fossils are from Satan, because that just doesn't make sense. Like, obviously these creatures existed. So how does that, you know, what we're doing is going, let's put that into our Christian worldview. So that's really, I mean, I think that's mm-hmm. awesome yeah. that we don't have to make up excuses mm-hmm. that we go, yeah, I mean, it's in the Bible right there. God created them. Job confirms that, you know, post flood, they still existed. And then I find it interesting, even if you look at before the fall, human beings lived a lot longer. Like Adam is like 900 years mm-hmm. old, and Methuselah is like 934 or something like that. Man, I got a hair in my mouth. this is live and raw. And then you look at post flood, mankind's years were just shorter. Now I think the oldest person is what, 115 or 20 years yeah. old, something like that. And you can assume that it was the same with all of creation, that, mm-hmm. that just because sin and death, it's this curse and it's this disease. So animals die, human beings die a lot, younger than they used to. And so it makes perfect sense in my mind that either animals just or dinosaurs just died out, or either the new climate post flood, they couldn't handle, I don't know, or either they were just, human beings went, okay, these are clearly a threat to us, we just need to wipe them out. And they killed all of them. That potentially could have happened. Yeah.
One interesting story in Genesis, I can't remember which chapters, but Nimrod, the mighty hunter, like we always think, you Nimrod, is actually a compliment, not a diss. And he said he was a mighty hunter in yeah. the earth. And you know, what was he hunting? What was he destroying?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Animals that are going to destroy us, let's take them out before they take us
totally.
out.
Yeah. And even if you look at, you know, we've done that with all sorts of animals. If you look at buffalo are pretty big. And, you know, when we come to North America and we pretty much, I mean, there are some, but they're, I don't know if they're, if they're still on extinction watch, like, or not. But like, we came and we wiped them all out almost, and they're massive. And yeah. like, so human beings have this incredible ability to adapt and to be creative and use, you know, resources to do that. So I don't see an issue at all that they couldn't hunt and kill dinosaurs. Sure, they could have. Then it's interesting again, because you have to remember, you know, since the 70s, or when was evolution really kind of pushed? 60s, 70s? Yeah. Since then, like we said, we have been living in a culture that has an agenda that's the truth. But even if you look at fossil records and whatever, people are approaching it with a bias of mm-hmm. evolution. So they go, well, obviously they have to be hundreds of millions of years old because evolution is true. And yet, with Christianity, we can approach it with, no, it's not necessarily true. Well, we know it's not true. God created everything. And even I found it interesting, and I can't find the article, but just recently they found a dinosaur that had actual like bone marrow, red blood cells still in it. And they've come up with I don't know what the explanation is, but they've come up with a fancy explanation to continue to push their agenda of evolution. But people have said, like very smart scholarly people have said, how could this dinosaur bone be 80 million of years old? Blood cells cannot, like physically cannot last mm-hmm. that long. It's impossible. So obviously it's not as old as we thought. Mm-hmm. But you would never hear mainstream media say that, because that is not the agenda that is being pushed. So again, it just goes back to worldview. Like, yeah. are we going to allow Scripture to shape our worldview? And we believe that actually this is the most rational, logical worldview to shape your world around. This actually makes the most sense. Yeah. Dinosaurs, sure, existing and God created them, then trying to come up with 80 billion whatever years old and you know, then we evolved from that and blah 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 blah. To me, that rationally makes no sense. This actually, I go, this is the most logical explanation for dinosaurs and for where we came from.
Yeah, and I know somebody would say, okay, the Bible says it, but the Bible is a book of myths, so is there any other evidence that we have that dinosaurs and people could have coexisted? And I think we mentioned some of them, but yeah, there's hundreds of dragon legends.
Yeah,
and there is thousands of artifacts that either describe or depict creatures that are dinosaur-like. Long before dinosaurs or this whole evolution even came about, they were here already.
Yeah.
I was just looking at one where in the Mexican and Peruvian cultures where they made clay figurines of dinosaurs.
Hmm.
And they're authentic. And people have tried to see, well, were they rigged? Were they placed there? But there's no way they could have been. And there's no way they could have known about dinosaurs unless they actually heard about these or maybe seen them. And they actually made clay figurines of brontosaurus-like triceratop dinosaurs.
That's awesome.
And so, of course, the scientists have looked at this and they're saying this either really changes how we're looking at things or we got to keep digging into this. But so there's evidence outside the Bible too, that if you honestly look at it, yeah, really have to ask the question, like there's evidence that dinosaurs and people coexisted, because there's just no logical explanation that these ancient people would have come up with these things,
yeah,
without not having seen them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are some stories with the dragons and all that that have probably been added to over time, but they all had a kind of an original beginning where it just – there has to be some real history to those stories, because they just wouldn't have been able to come out with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess the application today is, I mean, so how do you apply this to your life? Well, let's celebrate dinosaurs more. No, I think it's to realize that the Bible is not anti-science. Christianity is not, and we're going to get into this because in January and February, we're doing like a skeptics forum sermon series. So that's a little plug for that, answering some of these big objections to Christianity. But it's not as if, well, if you want to be a reasonable scientific person, you're over here. If you want to be a Christian where it's just all faith and superstition, then you're over here. That's just not true.
Yeah.
As Christians, I believe that God actually wired us to be rational and logical. I know lots of, like, I had a friend in the last church that we were at, and he became a Christian because he was such a rational, scientific person. He said, I'm not believing any of this until I can actually rationally prove it. And he became a Christian because he said, yep, the more I dive into science and biology and chemistry and physics, he's like, this is the worldview that makes the most sense. And so then he said, like, nah, I can trust in Jesus, because he wasn't just I had a great experience. And some people are like that. I met with God, but he was like, I need to know if this is real. And so for Christians, like, to encourage you, that you can kind of dive into this stuff, and we are actually able to push back against our culture a little bit. We don't have to go, well, just believe it because it says so. We can ask hard questions and use reason and logic to try and make sense of the world, because God's created us that way. Mm-hmm. And if you look at how the world is structured, God is a God of order and design and structure, and he's made us to operate in that. And so just to encourage you that if people push back or push against you about how superstitious, you can push right back and challenge some of the existing worldviews that our culture has. So be encouraged. Like, yes, we have faith in Jesus, and Christianity is about faith. But you know, you don't have to leave your brain at the door if you become a Christian. Like, we can engage in some of this, and scientists and scholars are discovering that the deeper you dive into this kind of stuff, the more it actually points to God. Any final thoughts, Donald?
Yeah, well, I agree. We can be greatly encouraged. Like, I think it always helped me to just remember that we're actually all looking at the same evidence, but we're interpreting it differently. And so it doesn't mean we're out of science has proved something. Science, it's there. The evidence is there. And some want to say it means there was no God. There was evolution. And we're saying that God has said already he did this. So looking at it that way, and then it's kind of a question, are we going to believe, what God has written in his book and then explore how he did that?
Yeah.
It's there. I guess before I forget, I just wanted to say I do have a book, and it's a short book, easy to read. It has 22 top world scientists in different fields that have no problem believing in creation, that God made it, and they're high-level scientists in different fields. So if you want to read that or borrow that,
awesome.
It's really encouraging because they have no issues with saying that God created this and that their science actually affirms that for them.
Hmm.
So there's a plug for
awesome.
If you want to do some more research.
Contact Don if you want to borrow that book. Sweet. Well, thanks for listening. Hope that's been helpful, and hopefully we can keep on top of this and do a podcast more than once every 6 months. All right. God bless.